Kirk Franklin, you know, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. For those that are hearing on the radio, that was Jesus. Kirk Franklin with Jesus is the reason for the season. And, you know, people tend to forget that, and, you know, and then people want to debate on when he was born. It isn't a when he was born, it's why he was born. Amen. Without him, none of us could get into heaven. Hallelujah. I just thank God for Jesus. Amen. And what he had to go through to pay the cost upon the cross to keep us from suffering great loss. And I just thank him, praise him, bless him. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving honor to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The head of my life. Amen. The Lord God, Jehovah, the Father, King of heaven. Hallelujah. King of the kings of the kings. Amen. And the blessed Holy Ghost, the keeper. Amen. My producer, Pastor Gerald Overall, also known as Pastor O, and his lovely wife, Sheila. Amen. And the saints that run for Christ Ministries. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Action for God and all the Renaissance Christian Center and Word of Faith. And amen. Hallelujah. Faith for Christ. Amen. All the different saints, amen, and even my new Jewish brothers, amen, hallelujah, here, there, and everywhere, and I thank God, amen, for another exciting training day. This is a day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, amen. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm one of those people that I think in a no-lose situation, you know. You know, I know it's a good thing to be alive and well, but, you know, when you're in Christ, even if you die, you're still well, amen, and alive, just not here on earth. Matter of fact, that's an upgrade in lifestyle for us, so it's a no-lose situation. I tell you, I praise my God for that. Hallelujah, amen. You know, we're still talking about the covenants, amen. Hallelujah, and we're talking specifically about the our part in the covenants, and that's the commandments of God and why they are. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, that you paid for what was the blood of your own Son. We thank you, Jesus, for being obedient unto the cross. Amen, enduring the suffering, amen, the beating that you took, cutting and the stabbing, amen, for our salvation, amen, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, thank you, and for sending back the Holy Spirit, our guide, our keeper, our comforter, the power of God operating in us. Father God, right now we're asking that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom. In the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you already have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you've made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking that you would strengthen us with might. Amen. Bless us to comprehend, amen, your love, amen, the depth, the width, the height, the length of the love of Christ, which exceeds all understanding of man. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work according to you. And Father God, we ask you bless us with the knowledge of your will. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Right now, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think it suffices that I go back and review some things, particularly the foundation of training day. Because when you connect it to what we are talking about, you have reason. And I think something that disturbs a lot of people is they want to know the reason. Why is it this way? Occasionally I visit these atheists on Facebook, And that's a question they have. And it's amazing the response I get to the answer I give is really not as negative as one would suppose. You know, they don't like it. It don't make sense. But I find the same response to Christians. You know, they don't like it. It don't make sense. But it is what it is. What you gonna do? It ain't like you can go to Congress and complain and say, look, this is what God is doing, and we want y'all to outlaw it. That ain't going to happen because it's tremendous. Now, you know, our base scripture for training day is found in 1 John. I'm going to read it here. 1 John, you know, and for the new people, that's in the back of the Bible if you don't have an electronic Bible. I know chapter 3, verse 2. It says, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what it shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, that's Jesus he's talking about. And what he's saying right there is that When we see Jesus, when we get raptured, or if we were to die, we will become like Jesus is now. The only difference is Jesus has omnipresence. Jesus has omnipotence. And Jesus has omniscience. Okay? Even in when you make the transition, you know, my recent family members that have gone on, they can communicate with each other telepathically, okay, but they can't just at will listen to the thoughts of another person's mind in heaven or on earth. They don't get to come to earth. They won't get to come back until after Jesus, we come back after the battle, in the battle of Armageddon, okay? But you got to understand the capacity of that level of intelligence and that level of authority and power, and what a person would do with that without some guide or control over them. And in this case, it's God. And this is the thing about life. This is why he does things the way he does. See, God not really, it isn't that he isn't interested in your feelings and your agonies you go through and your trials and your tribulations and that you face, is that he fully realized what kind of person you are outside your body. I don't think we really give great thought to that. And it's amazing now, and as it should be, as I hoped it would be, I'm finding other ministers, I could name them, Tim Alberino for one, that are on the same page as this, about the magnitude. He has a different approach. But see, he starts from a different area, but the point is that we're looking at man in a different level. And this is beyond religion. See, religion is set up because it had questions, tried to provide answers, and the answers didn't make sense. This is why you have the division. See, the division came, you know, what I noticed when I read in commentaries, and I read an excellent book that I refer to is Fox Book of Martyrs. And you know what you'll find, the confrontations and the meetings, and they, in the beginning, they alleged they prayed, and that's a they thought they got an answer from God. But see, I give leeway to the fact they did not have an entire Bible, as we do now. But they had the Holy Spirit. And the one thing you can see that if Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and these people we're reading about lived according to the word before it was written, that tells you that God put it in man's spirit. This is why children know right from wrong. Without you telling them, they know when they're stealing. They know when they're lying, because you get a conviction in your natural man. So see, some things are, but see, what we have to give a focus on the level of authority this really is. Because I do not believe that God will send us through all these trials. We would not have to go through all this, learning how to gain control of our emotions under every circumstance if it wasn't significant. If all I was going to be was just this little flesh hunk, I don't think I'd have to go through what I'm going through, because in this flesh, I'm not that much of a threat. I mean, with weapons in my hand or my hands, I mean, I can't, right now, I'd have to, if I want to go somewhere, you know, I have to go to the airport, I have to either get in the car and drive, walk, ride a bike, get on an airplane. The people that have made the transition and those of us that will come back with Jesus will be able to travel telepathically to anywhere on the planet. That is complete control of the molecular environment. And a person with that skill level, that's an intellectual level that is higher than we can even imagine. Because right now they spend a lot of time and energy trying to develop devices that will do something similar to that. You know, I was watching this program about the super collider. I actually pray for it to fail. You know why? Because they don't know what they're messing with. And then to go, oops, after you done blew up half the planet, I don't relish that idea at all. They don't know. Look at what nuclear, they're trying to go a million times what nuclear power does, and they have no way of knowing how to control it. See, this is why God sent us through that. We you have more power than they're trying to achieve. And you know, I mean, it's look at what they do. There's enough energy right now that exists that every home on the planet could be heated for free. But they don't do that. They market it. You know, there's enough water for us to always have water. Well, it used to be. It's kind of drying up now. It's drying up because of sin. It is not drying up because of global warming. Because the saints of the Most High God has authority over the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, but they cannot utilize it living in sin, just living against God, speaking against God, making laws against God. Ain't going to happen, because the angels of the Most High God will not work for anybody that's going to disobey God. They don't want to lose their place in heaven. They saw what happened to Satan. They've seen hell. They ain't going there, okay? And see, and that's what all this is about. If you remember last week, we started talking about the commandments. And the number one is, there shall be no other God, including you. Okay? We can't be our own God. And that's challenging because it's in our nature to be self-sustaining, self-sufficient, self-aggressive. That's just in us because it comes from God. But he's saying, you got to manage that because man is co-nition, co-omnipotent, and co-omnipresent. Yes, those are new words, and when they become in common usage, the Webster people say, well, that's when it'll go in the dictionary, so Jesus will probably be back before then. But anyway, and this information was given to me by God because I asked for it. I mean, I literally asked God, okay, God, I asked him, Lord, I was very respectful. You know, that's one of them times when I will get on my knees, when I don't want God to make no mistake about what I'm saying or asking. You know, I put my 3-inch pad down because you don't need it. My knees hurting as Jesus went to the cross. and I asked him because I wanted to know. I watched the tone of my voice. So I didn't want him to be doing me like he did Job. You know, read Job chapter 38. God, you can ask God, but you better watch how you ask him. You know, woo boy, he went on one side of Job and down the other. But anyway, so the point here, the covenant has two sides. So this, the commandments, and they are immense. I mean, you got commandments, and then you got statutes. You got which we may get to today. One of them, well, we did get to one. I want to get to the Sabbath day, at least start out on that, but I'm just following right now. All right, so the point is, the reason for this is because the law don't make you do nothing. It tells you when you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Speed limits don't tell you to speed, you know. So, you know, they just tell you when you disobey, okay? They don't make you. The speed limit sign don't make you slow down. You know, you decide to slow down. And that's the thing. God wants you to be independent, but he wants you to be respectful of who and what you are. Because it's tremendous. Remember, we ain't even begin. We think we done went somewhere. This little old few times, 100 years we done been down here. We ain't did nothing. You know, we got cars and we could think like we could do this. We got cars to run off a lake. Man, please. We got cars. They don't even need them. You know? I mean, it's things, it's events in the Bible that show you that they didn't even really need. And the reason God withheld it so long is because of what's going on now. You got one man trying to starve another nation. That's why God, he didn't want nobody, because that's what happened. That man think he God. That's what happened. When you disobey, and he claimed he believed in God, but he gonna, ain't no, in this particular age, it's no way for him to justify that, but forget that. That's another issue. All right. So the first commandment was, you shall have no other gods. All right? And the second commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And I really want to, and the Lord gave me some things to share on that, because it's critical. Now, again, that's the same. One of the things about each of the commandments, if you violate them, you have to violate the first one first. You know, anytime you sin, you first have to decide, God, you don't count. I'm gonna be God for this moment, and that's at any time. Okay, so the point here is that life will demand it will challenge you to be continually cognizant of it. Now, don't get all beat up, particularly my new people, when you miss it. Because I tell you, you keep at it, you'll get better, and you'll get comfortable with it. Don't let your mind, don't let the devil program your mind that this is giving up your, as the young lady tried to tell me, I gave up my freedom. Listen, I ain't going to hell. Hell has no freedom. And it stank down there. Them folks ain't washed their butt in 6,000 years. Shoot, do you ever smell a dead carcass? Now imagine what it smelled like 6,000 years old, man. Shoot. I'm telling you. But see, the point is, all right. He says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. All right? Now, that's basically, now, from a childhood, I always thought of that. I was told, you know, when I heard somebody get scolded for cussing, that was they, don't use the name of the Lord in vain. And, you know, it didn't even relate to that. It doesn't even relate to that. That's a totally different area. Matter of fact, let me read to you the Hebrew of the word vain, which basically means without God. The Hebrew word is shav, and it means emptiness, vanity, falsehood, emptiness, nothingness, okay, worthless. In the sense of desolating. That means not being idolatrous, okay, objectively. False, lying, okay, vanity. When you hear Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says this, with this vanity and vexation of spirit, that means it's without God, okay? And I understand. Then that bottom line is, take it serious, because it is serious. I mean, you run in a body that got 78 organs, and, 200 different cell types, and you in contact with each one of them cells, because when you leave their body, they cease to function. Their life is gone. You have control of that. I'll never forget this professor said that what it takes God to run the universe is what it takes us to run the body. I mean, you got to look at what's going on, because, and now it's amazing, I found a controversy now on they're calling man a God-class being, small g. Even with a small g, they're labeling that heresy. But again, I checked one of the persons and I asked them about their prayer life. And did they ask God about it? See, don't just understand that. That's what we are. And I understand that, you know, God, there are revelations you have to get from God. This is why I say don't read the Bible without praying. Don't read a book about the Bible without praying. Don't watch a video without praying and asking God for revelation. Because, see, again, that God gives, you're only going to get information from man, but you get revelation from God, all right? And see, and the point of that matter is that just says the definition of God, small g, is like, is the same of heaven as ruler or magistrate, that which is different from Jehovah, who is supreme. Anytime you see all capital letters, I mean, you got all of God's names in the Bible. You have to really get a Hebrew Bible or get a Bible that, like the one I have in front of me now, that can give me Hebrew and Greek definitions as I read through it, okay? So I'll know the difference, and it says something, because God changes for a reason, okay? But anyway, I'm not teaching on the names of God, but point of the matter is, don't just take it, because people do that. In other words, I know somebody that I led in prayer, amen, for salvation, and they haven't followed up on it. Because they're still in their own mindset, which means it didn't take. Because one thing I know, if you receive Christ, you get conviction about not going to church. I don't argue with people about not going to church. There's a disconnect that they ignited. That's the best word I can come up with. That they ignited between them and God, or they, whatever. It's another word I could use, but, you know, I'm not a major in English. They the ones that decided that I'm not going. I don't go to church for men. Okay, and I serve at church, but I don't go for men. I serve at the pleasure of the Lord, period. You know, I love my pastor, I love my brothers, I love my sister, but I go. If they don't go, it had to be closed. If I go, I'm going I serve at the pleasure of the King, period. End of story. You know, when I praise at the pleasure of the King, because he's the one that blessed. Everybody else can go, all right? But he's my supplier, okay? So that's where you're taking it, delve into it. It's a sad reality here in 2022. Now, I've been asking a question since 1977, okay? And that is, I started out asking, have you read the whole Bible? And that came up because I was talking to somebody that had been saved a lot longer than me that hadn't done it. So I just would ask Christians. I'd see them carrying a Bible. I figure you can. You must read it. You know, they read some of it. You know, they follow along when they go to church on Sunday. But that's it. They don't. How do you not have a curiosity to want to know the true and the living God? You know, my wife doesn't have a book. I have to figure it out as it go along, and she's subject to change. God won't make no changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So I can read the Bible and know his mind on things. And it don't change. It don't change. People trying to make it change, but it don't change. Amen. So I need to know that. So again, that's what he's saying right there. And his commandments point out whether or not you're serious or not. Because if you don't follow him, then he knows you following your own mind. And guess what? If you're not following God, there's no neutral territory. There's not. I got my own mind. I have my own freedom. You got your own. You make your own decision, but it's God or the devil. Ain't no three things about it. It's either God or the devil. And a lot of people going to get, you know, I'm hearing pastors, because God has put out the word, and I heard it. That a lot of people going to get disappointed at the rapture. They're going to get disappointed because they've taken God, Ecclesiastes 8:11. It says, because sentence against an evil deed is not speedily executed, therefore the hearts of the son of men continue. So, you know, don't think because God ain't dropping no lightning down on you that you're right. His word says what he say, period. That's what he think. That's what he believe. All right. Now, what the Lord wanted me to deal with, talking about in vain, it's really interesting that in the next chapter, chapter 21, covers a variety of issues. But the first one is being a servant, aka/slave. Now, let's read this. I'm going to read Exodus chapter 21, verse 1. Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. He said, if you buy a Hebrew servant, let me switch Bibles for a second here. Give me a minute. I want to switch Bibles, you know. I just want to read this in simplicity so you get it. Okay. All right. It says, now these are the ordinances, laws, I'm reading from the Amplified, which you shall set before the Israelites. If you purchase a Hebrew servant because of his debt or poverty, all right, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh year he shall leave as a free man, paying nothing. All right. If he came to you alone, he shall leave alone. If he came married, then his wife shall leave with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she gives birth to sons or daughters, and the wife and her children shall belong to her master, he shall leave your service alone. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not leave as a free man, then his master shall bring him to God, that is, to the judges who act in the name of God. Then he shall bring him to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, a strong needle, and he shall serve him for life. And if people need to read it further on, because it gets into this issue of people thinking that they got rights. Listen, if you lose your sight of the kingdom of God over the government of man, you might end up going through the tribulation period. That's the area you don't want to risk. That's where we are now. A lot of people claim rights like freedom of speech. You don't have your freedom of speech in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, is limited to the word of God. You know, I mean, I was on one of them atheist websites, and I wanted to call the guy an idiot. Okay, I didn't. Okay, one is you want to speak in faith what you believe God wants, and God wants them saved, so I can't call him an idiot. Okay, that's one reason why the body of Christ is prohibited from just saying anything. Believe me, there's a lot of politicians that I would love to just say what they are, but God is singularly focused and want us to be singularly focused on what's the end result that he desires, not what I desire, what he desires. I mean, you got to look at through the Bible, the different characters that God placed in authority. And the changes that came about, one of the most noted ones is Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel, book of Daniel in chapter 4. You know, and understand back then, this thing of voting is just man's myth that was created during the era of Rome, the Roman Empire. And as it is today, they say your vote count. How do your vote count if the person you voted for lost? You know, I ain't even buying that unless you can show me how that count. Unless both people get elected, my vote didn't count, okay? That's it. You know, now you can twist that any old kind of way you want. It make a difference. Now, what makes a difference is Daniel stood before the Lord, would not compromise, and when he got through praying, the king was on his knees after he lost his mind for 7 years. But you see what God got him right. And he said, the Lord is God. And that's the result God is looking for. We keep, you know, people go, I'm not going to connect myself with anybody that's disconnected with God. I'm not going down with the ship. I'm jumping on the lifeboat Jesus every time. Say it as you want. All right. But now, look at what this is following. Right after he done gave Moses the Ten Commandments, okay, then he starts out, you would think he'd probably pick another area to start out of, but he's starting out right here showing what it means, what the dedication he expects his people to have to him, to the point that they have to have the mindset that they have surrendered their lives completely to his will. And you don't get to pick your station in life. If you don't get to be the king, you're supposed to say, praise the Lord. Okay? If you're the king's favorite servant, you say, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endure forever. And this is a problem that men struggle with. They pick and choose positions based on their desire for idolatry. They don't want to call it that because they, and I get this. But see, God is he have it so, if it's, you can get the stuff and serve him too. He'll show you how to get it, okay? I mean, but it's about submission to him. A classic character going back 500 years was a man named Joseph. The man was a, he rose from jail to the number two position in the nation, in a pagan nation that did not worship his God. And he wound up the number two man and never compromised. Never. What does compromise bring? It brings failure every time. You know, the governor of New York, when I saw him sign that baby killer bill, I knew he wasn't going to last. I knew he, this is a different era. This is not 1969, folks. This is different. The judgment of God is going to be quicker, fiercer, harder, and people playing around with it. I'm telling you, dying ain't the problem. Dying without Jesus is the problem. Hell's for real, and it's forever. All right, but notice this. It says, one, he can purchase people. And again, the atheists, they point this out. Well, why would God allow slavery? It is what it is. It is what it is. You know, matter of fact, let me go to Galatians. Let me see here. Where am I? Okay, go to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 17, because that's the New Testament, all right? Now, again, you have to remain cognizant. You have to have on your mind the totality of his life, okay? Job suffered immense trial, immense pain and agony, but that was what? Job might have lived to be 100 and some years old, but the last 2,500 years, he's had total bliss, and it only gets better. It'll never go back to that level again. He'll never have pain again. And he ain't even at the peak best. The peak best does not come until after God made the new heaven and the new earth. How about that? Okay. It says, Galatians chapter 6. Y'all pray for me because you can probably hear my voice. I got some challenges going on, but that's life. It's called warfare. All right. It says, this is Paul speaking to Galatians. It says, from now on, let no one trouble me by making it necessary for me to justify my authority as an apostle and the absolute truth of the gospel, for I bear on my body the branding marks of Jesus, the wounds and the scars and other outward evidence of persecutions. These testify of his ownership of me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, my brothers and sisters. Now, I want to read, now this time I want to go to the KJV on the same issue, so you get that, okay? And for some reason my Bible says, okay. No, that's what I wanted. That was good. There's another scripture I was looking for. Hallelujah. Oh. Yeah, I had it. That was it. Okay. Bottom line is, Paul, he did have marks on his body. I mean, he got beat to death, literally. You know, that was believed when he actually died, and that's when he went to the third heaven, because he couldn't relate. He said, well, in the body, out of the body, he didn't know. Point of the matter is that you had to look at the transition for Paul, just as it was for the nation of Israel. There was a cultural change involved. Paul was raised, amen, as a, he became a Pharisee. He came from a wealthy family. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was an esteemed person on all levels of life. He was a businessman, and yet he himself, say he counted all as dung, and dung is the refuse to come out of the rear portal of an animal or a human. You know what I'm talking about? All right. I don't need to go into any more detail. He said that's what it's equal to. But the point of the matter is now I want to go back to Exodus 21. But that's a my point there is that it is a continuity of mindset from both the Old to the New Testament. It didn't change. It wasn't in the Old and not in the New. It didn't become new. As a matter of fact, all the scripture that's quoted in the New Testament come from the Old Testament. We just have deeper revelation of it and the authority within us to carry it out. And we're going to touch on that in a minute. All right? But another point I wanted to bring out here was here you got the situation where the man been bought as a slave. I call a minimum wage worker. That's pretty much it, you know. Tell you young folks, you got to get a skill. You know, you're in a different era where you have to have a usable skill that'll keep you employed. You know, don't go to college and get a useless degree. Don't go get a practical skill. If you don't want to become an engineer or a doctor and right away you may change your mind down the road, get you a skill. Look around. You know, computers are always going to need, they're going to always need somebody to work on computers. You know, even though they're replacing people with computers, they're going to need somebody to work on the computers they're replacing them with. You want to be a marketable person, all right? And you can believe God for that. And it may not be what you want to do, but I was raised that you need to be able to feed yourself. See, when I came up, we knew when we was 18, one thing, we was either going to have to be full-time college, go in the military, or have a job where we could supply, take care of ourselves. Now, we fell on hard times. My old man wouldn't let us sleep out in the street. But if times were good and opportunities were plentiful, now he wasn't having it. And that's how you raise men. And there's a different principle for women in the Bible. One, you'll notice women don't get circumcised, even though somebody recently tried some of that stuff. You know, see, that's the challenge. Always not to not want to call. But the point here, okay, he done got bought as a slave, and his 7 years is up. And if you really study the Bible, that's supposed to be length of a mortgage too, but that's another issue. Okay. It says specifically it's different. If he got in there and he already had a wife and children, then they could leave with him. But if he got in there and his master supplied him a wife and a child, then he belongs, all of them belong. He had to decide to either go on without him, which is what a lot of men would do now, or he would have to stay. And then he'd have to now. Historically, this is where the earring came, and it did not matter if it was left or right. If you notice, it did not say, when he said he was going to pierce his ear, it didn't say the left ear. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't say whether or not you die. It says, when they saw you with an earring, you belong to somebody. Now, I'm not knocking earrings. I just don't want a hole in mine. Okay? And I've seen brothers with a cross in there, you know, a little earring and the cross hanging down, and they belong to Christ. And I mean dedicated men of God, okay? That ain't no sin in that, you know. People make sin out of everything, you know. And they let people tell it driving at full speed is a sin. I mean, people told me drag racing was a sin. I'm like, God got me out of that church. Hallelujah. But the point here is, this is an illustrative, I'm trying to talk right, illustrative of submission to God, total submission to God. I like how they expressed it here. Listen to what it says. He said in verse 5, this is again from the Amplified, he said, but if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not leave as a free man. He's given up his will, okay, to serve his master and to keep his family. And then his master shall bring him to God, that is to the judges who act in God's name. Then he shall bring him to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with a strong needle, and he shall serve him from life. And you know, it's strange, but think about that. How many people, I know I've met people, not a lot, fortunately, that have left God. But see, they took the name of the Lord in vain. That's what that is. See, that's when you know you took it in vain, when you can't stay because of some challenges. Well, see, this comes from not, God didn't tell you can't ask him. He didn't say you couldn't ask him. You know, and it's a way that you ask God. And he'll explain. See, they had to play out what we now can study as history. So I give a lot of kudos to them because they went through some stuff. See, because this is another reason God did it this way, so there would be an established history with commentary on how God does business. See, and this is the thing, and this is why God chose all that, to show what it takes to make the character in man that he desire us to have today. This is not done in vain. And I can only be convinced that the reason for that is the level of authority and power that we will be given when Jesus come back. You know, I pick up on a little thing. Why is he going to rule with a rod of iron then? If we're going to be all goody, 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 he don't need no rod of iron. You know, he could have got a gold with a diamond crust on the top. You know, because now we got this flesh thing. It tends to have a life of its own. You know, we have to command it. It make it do it. It won't, just like it don't want to get out of the bed in the morning. It want to eat more than it need. We have to tell it what to do instead of us telling it. And it's amazing that it never advanced, in most cases, past the status of a one-year-old. You look at a baby. If you fed a baby all day long, it'll eat all day long. You can look at some folk babies, and they don't get it. Okay, but see, and that's what God is saying right there. We need to understand this because at the next level, the power is greater. Now, you see that in history and in life. This is why you don't see 10 CEOs at a company. You don't see 15 CFOs. You see one. Because it takes a certain level of discipline at each stage, okay? You see that in sports. You know, you see a lot of good athletes, but then you see the ones that they call the cream of the crop. It takes them. They have to demand and command control over that flesh in order for it to do it. They have to drive it when it don't want to go. See? And this is what God is telling us. But at the same time, it says, you killed your excuses. Now, see, they did not have the Holy Spirit. And they had to obey God. Now, understand, Satan had already been on the scene. He's been, there's a, you know, they're talking now more about, that, to me, it's called the antediluvian age, the age before the flood and what went on with them angels and all that. You see, them angels, during that time, were able to do things because everybody did not have the Holy Spirit, unlike now. You know, now they're saying that in time as the gods are returning. In other words, the demon power is growing. That's all that is. There ain't no other. Listen, if you read the book of Isaiah and just read from chapter 40 to 48, you will see God repeatedly say, there is no other God. Now, I don't, I don't need nobody else's testimony. I don't care what anybody say. I don't care what, how many degrees they got. There is no other God. All right. But there are some very powerful beings called angels who disobeyed God. A third of the angels got kicked out of heaven with Satan, and they have a high IQ. Yeah, they can develop technology. They know more than all the technicians and engineers on the entire planet today. One angel. All right? I have no question about that. But this is what I do know, too. They do not have authority over me. Now, they're going to show up after the rapture. They show up now. I got authority over them. Some of the things that some people are expecting, like they're expecting, Christian Holocaust. Guess what? Not before the rapture. I ain't having it. It ain't going to happen. I ain't buying it, you know, because greater is he that's in me. I'm not, no. See, I understand. I know in whom I have believed, see. Like I said, I'm not limiting myself to what some religious leaders say, I mean, be nice. They don't ask God about it. I do. Because, again, you got to look at this. What is God doing? He's preparing a people for a kingdom. And he turned up, listen, God thinking a billion years down the road. Plus the fact, think about this. Why 1,000 years? Do you know how much knowledge you gain in 1,000 years? During that period of time, the limitations on your mind right now will not exist. Do you know how much intellectual capability you can develop during that time period when you have no limits? Do you know what you can do when you have no limits? And God only wants us to understand two things. Everything you see in these commandments say, love me. That meant now the love that you got to understand, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. That's the love he's talking about each and every time. That's what he's talking about. Now, if you go back and you read it again, it doesn't have emotion, but it talks about commitment. And commitment comes when challenges come. That's when you know commitment. You know, if everything going your way, that ain't telling you nothing. It's when things ain't going your way. All right. So, like I say, all sin begin. You got to disregard God first. Okay, we know that the first commandment was, you shall have no other God. And now we just read about how much dedication is required. That's you're willing to give it up all. And see, and you don't know how that's going to turn out. Because you start out being a servant. Again, Joseph started out in jail. Okay? First time his brothers got him caught up in a mess. The second time he got lied on. And then he held on to his faith. And that's what God is expecting. See, listen, it just get too deep. See, this is what God demand. Why? Because, again, everybody that have made the change, they understand fully. Now, you know, like I said, my brother-in-law and my nephews that left here, they left here streaming, across the universe, boom. They went into hyperspace. They went beyond hyperspace. And that's when they were introduced to how much power that this is about. See, don't let this little weighed down flesh, all right? That's what it goes back to. We shall be like Christ, man. John 20:19 and 20:26, Jesus teleported. You will be able to do the same thing. Acts 8:39, Philip teleported. You know, they wanted to try to say, when I hear preachers try to say something else, you know, like he got up and ran. Nah, listen, listen. See, and that's the whole point. They want to humanize this thing. No, we supposed to go to the spiritual level. All right. Okay, so we didn't cover that. Now in vain. So I guess we can, I think you got that, you know. And again, if you go before God, if you think that kind of, you know, I think it kind of helped there. I think the Holy Ghost did a good job there. So we're going to go to the next one. And that is, let me see, where we at? Give me a second here. Hallelujah. I love this, you know. Said, thou shalt not take. Now we go to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath, and is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do any work. Your son shall not do any, your daughter shall not do, your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, nor the stranger. For in 6 days God made heaven and earth, and in all to them, and all that them is, and rested on the seventh day, and the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, you know, it's amazing. Sunday is not and never has been the Sabbath day. That's a day, it is a day of what the Bible calls convocation, okay? And maybe I should detail that, but that's assembly. That's congregation, same thing, okay? Different languages. That's when, and they would call the men together and get the revelation. And you know, if you read the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy and Numbers, you'll find out what they were learning. Okay, which is the laws of God. They had a lot of regulations that we did not, that we're going to touch on a few today, that we didn't have to, this is one. Well, they had a lot, they kept the Sabbath. One, there are more than one Sabbath. This was the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday, okay? The first day of the week was brought about a cultural change in the believers is Sunday, okay? And the fact, if you don't want to, you know, one, they were an autonomous society back then, so they had control of that. In other words, they knew that they could make sure that nobody had to work on Sunday, on Saturday. Nobody did, except the security unit. They worked on Saturdays. People don't know that. See, some people had some, because he used terms like no servile work. Okay, earn your living, earn your keep. Okay, except because they were in a land where they had to have security from both man and animals. Okay, so if people don't use common sense. Okay, Jesus dealt with that issue. All right, now the point is, the number one point, it goes back to the first commandment. You shall have no other God. The number one issue was you had to take a break and ponder God. That's what that day was for. For you to take a break and ponder your relationship with God. Now, we got it easy. I mean, I binge on Saturday on the word. And when I get enough word in, then I might watch some other stuff. But it really ain't that entertaining to me. Some of it is, I think people should be insulted. What they put on TV, all right? But the point here is that, again, this was a cultural issue that I clearly identified to children of Israel, because when they would be out in the hood and people would say, you working tomorrow? And they're like, no, I don't work on Saturdays. You know, they would actually start Friday evening. It was from evening to evening, okay, from Friday evening to Saturday evening. Now, it's clear now that, let me pull up this incident, that God views it different because, we under Christ, and that makes a big difference. Matter of fact, I think I should read that because we're gonna pick this up again next week. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. That's one area. Because that's been a stickler, 2 verse 16. And it really, okay. Matter of fact, I'm going to start with verse 14. You really need to read this whole chapter, but we're short on time. We're at 5 o'clock. All right. But anyway. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and was contrary to us and took us out of the way, nailing it to the cross. But I'm going to stop right here. Remember, next week we're going to pick up on the Sabbath day. Okay. Well, maybe this might be your first time listening. It might be after the rapture, because we don't know. We're at any moment now. But anyway, right now, to have a covenant with God, all you need to do is say this prayer. Say, Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that he died for our sins on Calvary, and I ask forgiveness for my sin, and I ask, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved and I am born again. Believe me. If you want to know the difference between that, take a time and read Leviticus chapter 4 and visualize in your mind what went on back then. So, but anyway, we're going to pick up again next week on this. And know this, that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith, works by love, and God is love. And continue to pray for me. In Jesus' name, good night.
Dear Father, yeah, I know you see me.
I cannot hide, you know what I have done. Yet you decided to love me anyway. Cannot lie, how do you see beyond my flaws? No, I don't know why you would save somebody like me. That would claim a filthy rag. That can still see the good when it's all bad. That would lay down his life just for me. None greater, none greater, none greater. No, there is no greater love.
Still see the good when it's all bad.